Hey, welcome back to Church History. I'm your host, Laura Lee Siemens. For the last few weeks, we've been traveling through the time in church history in between the World War I and World War II, and we are going to continue with that next week. Today, I want to talk about something really special, because today, April 7th, my new book, The Church Sings, comes out. My first two books, The Church is Born and The Church is Corrupted, tell the story of the start of the church. But this book talks about our hymns. What I wanted to do with this book is I wanted to show you the story of church history from the very beginning all the way till today, but to show that church history through our songs. Some of the songs you're going to see are Be Thou My Vision, A Mighty Fortress, At the Cross with Isaac Watts. I love him. He's such a great writer. The Doxology. Songs from the Wesley Brothers. One of my all-time favorite songs, Messiah by George Handel. Amazing Grace. Rock of Ages. There is a Fountain. I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And so, so many more. There's 32 chapters and 32 different songs that will help you travel through time and see how God has been using worship and music to continue His message of God's grace. One of the things I love about this book is that it's actually a devotional. So each chapter ends with devotional questions and then also the song, so you can always give it a sing if you want at the end. This can be used as a devotional by yourself, or if you have a study that you want to do with a group of people, it would make a great study to do with a group of people. So today I want to read to you one section of this book so you can get kind of an idea of what the book is about. This section is called The Song That Never Ends. From the green hills of ancient Ireland to the bright lights of modern worship stages, one melody has echoed through time, the song of the redeemed. The story of the church has always been a story that's been set to music. Every era, every nation, every language has added to its verse to the great hymn of praise rising to heaven. In the 5th century, Patrick sang of a vision, a God who saves and sends. In the 1500s, Luther thundered truths through the streets of Wittenberg. His hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, turning doctrine into song. In the 1600s and 1700s, Isaac Watts and Charles Wesley gave theology wings, teaching the church to sing scripture, not just with the mind, but with the heart. Throughout the 1800s, voices like Fanny Crosby transformed suffering into worship, proving that praise can rise even from the ashes of loss. In the 1900s, the gospel crossed through radios, revival, and missionary hymns, reminding the world that Jesus saves. And when the century turned again, guitars replaced organs, and the song of the Jesuit movement carried the same timeless truths into the new age, how great is our God. Across all those generations, the melody has changed, but the spirit has not. The Holy Spirit was there with Patrick in the misty shores of Ireland. He was there with Luther as he nailed his theses and lifted his hymn. He was there with Wesley on horseback, singing in the fields of England. He was there in the darkness of a slave ship when John Newton found Amazing Grace. He was there in revival tents, in small wooden churches, in prisons, and on battlefields. And he is here now, moving through microphones, speakers, and live streams, stirring hearts in bedrooms and sanctuaries around the world. The music of the church is not simply art, it's testimony. Each song is a moment of grace. Each chorus is a declaration that God is faithful. The hymns of the past remind us of God's character. The song of today reminds us He is still moving. If you listen closely, past the centuries and through the styles, you can hear the same heartbeat behind them all. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That has always been the song of the church, and it always will be, until the day we stand before the throne, surrounded by every tribe and tongue and nation, and the song will continue. In cathedrals and campsites, in catacombs and concert halls, the redeemed will keep singing. Because worship is not the music of one era. It's about the movement of one spirit. And that spirit is still writing new verses in the eternal song of heaven. May the same spirit who inspired Patrick and Luther, Watts and Wesley, Newton and Crosby, and every songwriter since fill your heart with a new song. May you sing not only with your lips, but with your life. May your worship rise in both joy and sorrow, declaring the faithfulness of the God who never changes. And may the melody of heaven guide your steps until the day we stand before the throne, and the music of time becomes the music of eternity, and we join the great chorus of saints singing forever. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. I hope you enjoyed that section of the book, and you will love all of the stories in this book, and I hope it will inspire you to get more involved in church history, and also on Sundays when you go to church, to sing with a powerful movement and remember that you are part of God's story. Get your order today. Next week, we're going to return back into our regular part of traveling through church history, and we're going to be talking about Italy during the time between World War I and World War II. You don't want to miss this. It's an amazing part of history. So go out, order your book, check out my website, LauraLeeSiemens.com, and I'll see you next week. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. We release new content every Monday. And don't forget to check out our website at LauraLeeSiemens.com for more information and additional resources. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week as we continue our journey through the incredible history of the church.